أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطيع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله صدق الله العظيم We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful, the praise, the thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek His help. We beg Him for His forgiveness. We believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates, and I bear witness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of him and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and he will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. Take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred a great blessing upon the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are in, as we mentioned before, the sacred month of Rajab. And at this juncture, I'd like to correct a translation with regards to Rajab that we mentioned in the previous khutbah. It is not the lap, as we mentioned before, of the sacred month. That is Dhul-Qa'dah. Rajab, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it comes from the Arabic word Rajaba. And Rajaba means to be in awe of. Awesome respect with regards to this month. And thus, many say it is the month of awe, the month that takes the breath away, the astounding month, the tremendous month, the amazing month, the month that humbles the mind. It does precede the sacred months that come one after the other, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram, but it stands alone. And it has been conferred one of the most auspicious occasions that we discuss today, and that is the Isra and Mi'raj. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, before we begin, let us recall what Anas bin Malik radiallahu an said that he heard Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about Rajab. He recounted that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Rajab is a tremendous month in which Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the good deeds. So whoever fasts a day from Rajab, it is as if he fasted a year. And whoever fasts 7 days of it, the seven gates of hell are closed to him. And whoever fasts 8 days from it, the 8 gates of paradise are opened for him. And whoever fasts 10 days from it will not seek or ask of Allah something, subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it. And whoever fasts 15 days from it, a caller will call out from the heavens, surely you have been forgiven whatever is past. So renew your good deeds, for indeed your transgressions have been transformed into virtuous actions. And whoever does more, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him more. And in Rajab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carried Noah in the ark, and he fasted and ordered all of those with him to do so. This is Nuh alayhi salam. And the ark sailed with him for 6 months until it rested in the first 10 days of the sacred month of Muharram. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, the 27th of Rajab falls on this Sunday, the day. Its eve, or its night, as in Islam, the night precedes the day. Its eve will be tomorrow night, Saturday night. And that marks the anniversary of this miraculous occasion, such that had never happened before it, and Allah knows best, will never happen again. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, let us take a moment to reflect upon what Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. When he mentioned in his book, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjidil harami ilal masjidil aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwa as-sami'ul basir. Subhanallah, or Subhanalladhi, pardon me, the one who took his slave for a journey by night from Al-Masjid al-Haram to the furthest mosque, the neighborhood whereof we have blessed, in order that we might show him some of our signs. Surely he, Allah, is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, as-sami'u al-basir. Now, let us talk about this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he began Surah Al-Isra with. Subhana, this word, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, is significant in and of itself that it begins the discussion or the mentioning of this event. Subhana alladhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said subhanalladhi, not subhanallah. This is why. Subhana by itself, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it means the one who you say this about, and it's only for Allah, he is Al-Qudus, the pure, the holy, free from any defect, free from any question about his intent or agenda, free from any evil whatsoever. And so this beginning, Subhana, meaning that he is worthy of praise, glorified is he. The one, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, the one, not someone else, and not something that you could mistake here. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. He, the one that took his slave on a night journey, is holy. He's not. It was not a jinn. It was not some other figment of your imagination. It was not anything else but him who is pure. This one is worthy of praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Arabs, they were aware of jinn. They were aware of their abilities. This is one of the reasons why they would say, oh, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the Quran, and they were confounded, and they were amazed, they would say, oh, this is sihrul mubin, obvious magic. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, many a times, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. And your companion, meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not bimajnoon. See, we don't know the Arabic, many of us. In the English it says, oh, he's not possessed. Right. Bimajnoon. Be with majnoon, meaning of jinn. With the jinn. He is not possessed of the jinn. They knew about the jinn. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clears that up with one word. Subhana. He's not any of that. He is the one worthy of praise. Alladhi, the one. Asra bi'abdihi. Let's talk about this word, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says this word, asra, it means to travel by night, by itself. Someone says, oh, asra, that means he went by night, not by day. He went traveling by night. Just that one word by itself means that. Subhanalladhi asra. Glory be to the one who asra bi'abdihi. He took his slave by night. By itself. We can stop here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had already said he traveled, made him travel by night. But again, Allah put the hikmah here in the language as well. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said bi'abdihi, meaning literally with his slave, linguistically this is extremely important. And it's indicative of why the Arabs at that time responded to this claim the way that they did. See, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other parts of the Quran, as we know, when he mentions particular events how he mentions them is important. Its meaning is there, it's clear. So in regards to death, he says, "Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut." Every nafs must taste death. Even in the language, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, if you're paying attention, it implies that there is something that occurs that causes one thing to happen and another thing to still be present. So the death we know, someone dies, they die. But what's left to taste? Who's doing the tasting? The body is dead, but what's surviving to taste? The nafs. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every nafs, every self must taste death. So right there in the language is the implication that there are two things. There's the body and the soul, the body and the self. The body dies, and we taste that dying, that death, and we remain, we, the nafs, remain after. Just in that, it's clear what Allah SWT in the language itself. Allah SWT could have said, oh, everybody must die. Everything must die. And that could have been it. But by this simple implication, it is conferred in the conciseness and the genius of Arabic, really, that there is something else happening. There is something that implies there is a division, a separation. You taste it, and you taste the dying of your body while you remain. Again, Almighty Allah SWT, when it comes to Prophet Muhammad SAW and this Isra, he could have said the same thing he said about Prophet Ibrahim AS. When he said that Prophet Ibrahim, surely I saw ru'ya, in my vision, such and such, him sacrificing his son. Or he could have said of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam that in his ru'ya he saw the sun, moon, and stars prostrating to him. He didn't say that. He said, bi'abdihi. Abd is slave. And slave, to be the slave means you need to be whole. You have to have the capacity to serve. When the person is dead, what do you say? They're dead. They cannot make salah. They cannot perform zakah. They can't even make wudu. We have to wash them. Their deeds have ended in the dunya. So their service is over. What remains, the self that remains, is now has to be judged how it used that other component. So they have been separated. They are yes, still a servant, but their service is not able to be performed. They have now to answer for their service. And when they are reunited, then in before the judgment, as Allah SWT, He says, we will be resurrected whole again to answer. And then, inshallah ta'ala, idkhuli ibadi, right? Into my servants, my slaves, into my paradise. Whole, you joined again. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bi'abdihi, he meant his whole slave, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, body and soul. Just that one word, bi'abdihi. His entire servant. Not just his vision, not just his self, but his body too. Laylan. Bi abdihi laylan. Now, you could ask yourself. You could ask, and it would be a legitimate question. Wait a minute. Allah SWT, he said, Asra bi abdihi. Doesn't Asra mean to travel by night? Yes, it does. So why is he saying laylan? It's a legitimate question. Why put this word again? If Esra by itself means, and it does ask an Arab, it means to travel by night. Why then say Laylan? If he already said he is traveling by night. And why not say Layla? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show us something again here in the language. If he said Layla, it would encompass the whole night. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went from Mecca al-Mukarramah to Jerusalem through the heavens back to Jerusalem and to Mecca in part of the night. Didn't take all night. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Laylan, part of. It was at night, but the Laylan implies part of it, not all of it. Didn't take all that time. I don't need that. He is Allah. He does what he wants. And he has power over everything. So dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this was the reason for the astonishment. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have easily said, oh, I saw Jerusalem last night. And I saw this one and I saw that one. And the Arabs would have been like, okay. So you had a vision. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear to them. When he said it in this way, they were like, what? You did what? Back and forth in less than a whole night? And it takes us 40 days by camel to get from Mecca to Jerusalem, and you did it in less than a night. Because by the language itself, it was clear. There was no need for discussion or debate amongst them at that time. This is even, if you are not clear about this, this is how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gained his title As-Siddiq. Because when he heard of it, and he said, did Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say it? He said, yes, then it is true. And so that's how he gained his title, because of this very event. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recounts to us in hadith some of what occurred. How this night began. When he said, while I was in the Hajar, so that you know that this is a place right beside the Kaaba. For those of you who have been, mashallah ta'ala, for those of you who have not, take a good look at a picture of the Kaaba. You'll see a short wall, small curved short wall, next to the Kaaba. This is that area that we're speaking of. He said he was in this area, and he continues, between sleep and wakefulness. Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and he opened my chest and washed it, meaning washed his heart, and then returned it to its former state. And then I was taken and saw a white animal that looked like something between a mule and a donkey, whose name was Buraq from Al-Barq, which means the lightning. With one stride, you know a horse when it gallops, with one stretch of his hooves, one stretch, he traveled as far as he could see. One stretch. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was what he rode from Baytul Haram, the Masjid in Mecca, to Bayt al-Maqdis, Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. As soon as he arrived, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, he found all of Allah's prophets and messengers there. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Isa alayhi salam, greeting him. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he then ordered Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, lead them in salah. So that you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to Jibreel alayhi salam, he's like, how can I lead these people who are older than me? And more prophets before me and messengers before me. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, you must, this is your duty, lead them in the salah. Now, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you as I remind myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even indicated about this event being promised in his book when he said, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيِّينَ لَمَا آتَيْتُكُم مِّن كِتَابٍ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُم رَّسُولٌ مُصَدِّقًا لِّمَا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنصُرُنَّهُ قَالَ أَأَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا قَالَ فَاشْهَدُوا وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ صدق الله العظيم. Allah says here, it's very important. And remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the covenant from the prophets, Nabiyeen, saying, take whatever I gave you from the book and the wisdom, and afterwards, there will come to you a messenger confirming what is with you. You must believe in him and help him. All of the tafsirs say this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we know Adam alayhi salam came way before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in chronology here. And Nuh alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, he's taking a mithaq from them. When he comes to you, you must believe in him and help him. This night, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, they fulfilled their covenant. Allah brought them back in the flesh at Jerusalem to meet Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam face to face. Some say so that on the day of judgment they'll recognize him. So when they go to him to ask him to get the day of judgment started, they know who to talk to. And also so that they could bear witness what? La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, after this auspicious occasion of the Salah, Jibreel alayhi salam brought Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three glasses. One with yogurt, one with wine, and one with water. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to choose the one with yogurt. And Jibreel alayhi salam remarked upon this saying, you have been guided to al-fitra, meaning the status the original status in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us and returns us to of obedience and I don't want to imply as if there is some state that we are in when He created us that we're not. As we start submissive and obedient, the fitrah. Jibreel alayhi salam, that's what he said. You have been guided to al-fitrah. He continued. And your ummah, because of this, your nation will be guided. Had you chosen the glass of wine, your nation would have been drunkards. And if you had chosen the water, then they would be doomed to be drowned. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala led you to the best, and He will lead your nation to the best. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as Allah says in the Holy Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرُ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best ummah brought out for humanity. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, the meeting at the furthest house, and the meeting of the prophets and messengers with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned, was a precursor of what will occur on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He then blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ascend with Jibreel from that moment on. If Allah blesses you to be able to travel to Jerusalem, to be able to go to the Dome of the Rock, to witness this and see it for yourself, this was the spot from which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended. When he got to the first heaven, and Allah blessed him to pass through its gates, so that we understand, because in English we have limited terms to use. When we say heaven, people think death and heaven. That's not the word that we're talking about here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls it, you know, as we say, as-sama'at wa dunya, or sama'at ad-dunya, or samawat. These words, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, are different from, in Arabic, Jannah or Jannatil Firdaus. Two different places. Two completely different things. But English, as it is a lazy language. Oh, it's just heaven. No. It's different. These are two completely different concepts. What Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveled through, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, science wishes it could have confirmation of it. And wallahi, I wish that there was an easy way to explain this. But for lack of an example, think of a building that has seven floors. First floor up to the seventh. And think of the space between the floor and the ceiling as being what we're going to describe here. The floor being al-ard, the earth, the ground, and the ceiling being as-sama, the heaven, or the strata, or level. And as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he described these, the distance between, let's say, the earth and the ceiling, as being the space between as far as like 500 years walking and more and more and more and more. The space between this is 500 years walking. The space between that is 500 years walking. You still haven't gotten to the ceiling. And when you get to the ceiling, there's an angel there saying, who are you and what you want? And they did. Jibreel alayhi salam, he knocked. Knocked on some door that we are unable to see. Just so that you have an understanding. Some of y'all need to get cable to get the Discovery Channel and Science Channel. You're laughing. I'm really serious, because it's important to understand that we see by light. And they will tell you that the stars, the distant stars, we are seeing their light that reaches us over, in some cases, billions of years later. That some of these stars have already died. And that the estimates of our universe are only based on what we can see. So they believe that there may even be space beyond the space that they know is there. Because they can't see beyond what they can see of light. That's it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how far the ceiling is from the earth. But when Jibreel alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got there, wherever that is, he had to knock on a door. And there was an answer, who is it? And he said, Jibreel alayhi salam, and who's with you? He said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, has he been given the message? And he said, yes. And then the door was open and they were welcomed. And it is in this strata, there, not in Jannah, but in this strata there, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam met Adam alayhi salam. There. I want you to be clear about this. And he was on a mission. Adam was busy alayhi salam, watching the souls of his children pass by. So that you don't get it twisted, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah says in His book, do not think of those who have passed away in the cause of Allah as dead. He says that. They are alive, but you don't perceive it. So, when we hear this from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, I ran into Adam alayhi salam, and he was busy looking at y'all pass by, frowning at the evil ones and smiling at the good ones, he's busy. Alive. And successively at each strata, as again thinking of it as an elevator, second floor, third floor, fourth floor, fifth floor, he ran into Musa alayhi salam. Sixth floor, seventh floor, he ran into Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this floor is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, is Sidratul Muntaha, the tree beyond which no one knows the knowledge beyond what Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he reached this level and he had to go beyond what Jibreel alayhi salam could pass. When he reached this level and Jibreel alayhi salam pushed him, he said, is this where a friend abandons his friend? He said, I can't go where you're going. I will be burned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, فَقَدْ كَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. Where he ended up, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, where he wound up at the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَقَدْ كَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sorry, فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. فَكَانَ, and he was, قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ. So you know what a قَوْسَيْنِ means, two bows. Take a bow, you stretch it, that's one. Two, he was two bows lengths from the throne or closer. Oh, Adna. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. And he revealed to his slave what he revealed to his slave. To Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that it would be at this place, this spot, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convey himself to his abd, his slave, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by its implication alone, we see the auspiciousness, the greatness, the weightiness of what was revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He let it be known, فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. What He revealed, He allowed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come back and tell you what He said. What did He say? فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. The first question as a companion, what would you ask? Well, what did He say? What did He reveal? Left it to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell you. That's one. But look at this again, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. With Musa alayhi salam, He split the sea into 12 pieces for each tribe of Bani Israel. And then when the tribes that had disobeyed and followed the calf were killed, so that you know, the remainder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best of them to come meet with Him, to hear themselves the revelation to Musa alayhi salam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you, okay, this is what I did with Musa alayhi salam. Sacred Valley of Tuwa, created a hijab, and He allowed Bani Israel to listen to the actual speaking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. So that we understand that this was an auspicious occasion. Now they messed up. They said, "We will not believe in you." لا نؤمن لك حتى نرى الله جحرا. نعوذ بالله من ذلك. We won't believe what we just heard until we see Allah manifest. Now they had some negative consequences to that statement. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's showing you that when it comes to His meaning, it's an auspicious occasion. Look at what He did with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead of on the earth, no. فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. I'm going to talk to Him at my throne. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. And reveal to Him. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He arrived, the first thing that He heard, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we are out of time. And wallahi, I got a lot more to tell you. Bi'idhnillah ta'ala, we will continue this khutbah, inshallah ta'ala, even though this is the last khutbah in this month, the sacred month of Rajab. There's so much more to understand, and so much more to be concerned about, and so much more to learn about this glorious, miraculous event that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to crown Rajab with. So I remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as I remind myself, we should not be amongst the ghafileen, those who are heedless, who have no respect and no regard for what Allah has given us. And the least of what we can do that has the greatest impact is to show our gratitude. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I would be remiss if I did not remind you and offer you the opportunity. We have the opportunity here. It is as close as our pockets. We can either gain or lose. There will not be another Friday in the month of Rajab. There will not be another opportunity besides today. The time of Jumu'ah is running out like the sand in an hourglass. This is the opportune moment now. Now, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, if I told you, I came to any one of you, I said, look, akhi, I got a Bentley outside, fully loaded, maintenance and everything. All I need is $20. Or I got a BMW. Or I got a stretch limo. $20, that's all I need. You first wouldn't believe me. Where'd you steal it from, akhi? I showed you the title and everything. You probably still wouldn't believe me. You'd be probably rubbing the title to make sure that it had the mark on it, make sure it was real. But you would think this was a deal. I got a Bentley. I got a Benz. I got a this. I got a that. Or I say, I got a house for you, akhi. $100. Yours, free and clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, I give you a house in Jannah. No bills. No electricity coming to knock on your door telling you, oh, nothing. Free, clear, and you'll live in it forever. If you support my house. I'm not Allah. I may, by virtue of Allah's decision, break a promise because His decision overcame me. But Allah doesn't break His promises. And He promises this. And so we have to have faith in His word. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity. Let's make the best of it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يعمل بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.